What's up, Doc? I have great news about your car's extended warranty. And Elon says you're fired. Iris Core says, hold my whiskey. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is presented by A Very Merry MSP Holiday. 25 days of giveaways of amazing gifts for MSPs near and far. Simply register for a chance to win, then, beginning December 1st, each day we will randomly select a winner of that day's gift. To learn more or register to win, visit go.mspmedia.tv/holiday.
Good morning and welcome to the November 29th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, commentary, and sometimes when I'm not muted, we're in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. How the heck are you doing? Thanksgiving, turkey, stuffing, vacation. Oh,
you know, so nice. I know this may be blasphemous. I don't care for the turkey. I care for the ham, like honey baked ham. That's my jam. And my wife and I have a, Michelle and I have a routine, I guess, or a ritual every year after Thanksgiving, the day after that weekend, we take honey baked, we take the honey baked ham, we take the Hawaiian rolls and panini press and throw, you know, some pickles and whatever and make some sandwiches. And that honestly, I look forward to that as much as I look forward to Thanksgiving dinner. How about yourself,
man? Oh man, bacon weave turkey, injecting butter with some cayenne pepper and some garlic in there, and chopped up apples underneath it, just fall off the bone, like stuffing everywhere and yams.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So, looking around, I'm thankful for our audience. I'm thankful for the Thanksgiving special that Simon and Phil and the crew put together for last week. I appreciate you guys so we could take a day off. You know what I'm also thankful for? And I'm sorry, Tony, I know I do this to you all the time. Have you seen these Flipper Zeros?
What?
Okay, so I'm pulling out the nerd card here.
Oh, man. I gotta get on Amazon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. It's basically the Swiss Army tool of radio frequencies. So it can read, it can write, and it can emulate many radio frequencies, including sub-gigahertz, including low and high frequency RFID or NFC and RFID. One of the coolest things to do is just like, take your cell phone, like when it's emulating a credit card or something, and like put it on there. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Taking key cards, and like you can not only like read the key card, you can write to other key cards, or you can emulate them. I'm just getting into all sorts of screwy.
There's nothing good that's gonna. Episode today is about hacking and all this stuff. Hacking. But before we begin this amazingly educational and informative podcast, we're gonna talk to you about how to hack. That's what we're gonna
do. You sound like Michelle, though. You sound like, because Michelle says this can only be used for hacking. And I say it's used for research and discovery. And I get research is what you say when you don't want to say hacking. I understand that. But
officer, I'm researching what's going on here.
See, but I would argue there are smart people out there that either want one of these or have one of these and have uses. If you're one of those that wants one of these and you have a good idea for what it can be used for, the best comment as far as what it can be used for, if it impresses me, I have a second Flipper Zero because I know these are hard to get. And I will ship out my second one brand new in the box for you. So, but until then, we got some news. Why don't we do it, man?
Let's get into the news. Coming out of the gate hot from NDTV.com, data of 500 million WhatsApp users has been leaked, and it's up for sale online. In one of the biggest data breaches ever, phone numbers of nearly 500 million WhatsApp users have been leaked and are up for sale. The database, up for sale on a popular hacking forum, contains the private information of WhatsApp users from 84 countries. A spokesperson from WhatsApp has denied the claim, stating, "The claim written on CyberNews is based on unsubstantiated screenshots. There's no evidence of data leak from WhatsApp." According to the report, U.S. dataset is available for $7,000, and the U.K. one will cost you $2,500. Ray, I need to come out. I'm going to stop the factual, statistical stuff, and I'm going to jump right into the question, is anything safe anymore? I want to make sure that we're all talking about the same thing. 500 million users, their information is now up for sale for a few grand US.
Is it worse when you say that or when you say half a billion?
There's a lot more like intonation potential with 500 million.
Oh, billion, you billion. Get the more syllables. I get you. There's I get syllables. You. Okay.
Yes. either way, it hurts.
We're still new at this journalist thing, so I'm trying to figure out which has the most pow for the audience. Anyway, 2010 or 2010, right? Like, what you say? Anyway, I want to know why the UK is only 2,500 and the US is 10,000.
I was going to get into that. Don't ever steal my punch at the end. That was, I think that just, it ate away at me. But in all seriousness, 500 million users, the data is available, which means that this is going to proliferate social engineering. It's going to proliferate or amplify the opportunities ahead for other exploit attempts in other areas. It's just more contact, surface contact area. So my real question out of everything is changing your password and having, we all know that having unique identifier, a unique password for every single service is the best way. And the best way to organize that or only way to organize that is through a password manager or some type of password rotation policy through a single sign-on. Is having a unique password for every single one of your services and manually changing that for every single one of the service, average user has, just throw this out to you, over 41 is the average, 41 services that you subscribe to, meaning there's, you know, everything from your Amazon to your Gmail to, you know, a variety of things, 41 different unique. You have to change those all. Is that the solution? You have to change them constantly because there is no single sign-on that has a password rotation policy that's baked in for it to accommodate all of those 41 different services. So what is the answer? 500 million is just painful for me to have to report on.
So, okay. So I don't want it to sound like, cause this is going to sound really freaking easy. I look at it like I've always said, you know, part of my disaster recovery plan, if I lost my laptop, if I lost my cell phone, I can grab another device and I can be up and running very, very quickly, right? Cause a vast majority of my stuff's in the cloud. And the idea is all about limiting exposure, right? Like, everything's encrypted. Everything's, you know, multi-factor authentication. If you take one of my devices, I'll have it shut down and wiped. You won't have access to anything. Not a big deal. But the password's the same thing. 41 websites doesn't mean you should have 41 times the same password used over and over again, right? Password rotation is far less important than having different complex passwords in each location. And of course, now we're going to have like John Hammond or like Slagle come back and be like, no, you're wrong. And if they say I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But in my
we know they're twitching right now. Like what's that? The force. There's a disturbance in the force right now. What?
I hear every time somebody says something wrong about security, Slagle's beard gets longer. So we're just helping our buddy. But seriously though, like with password managers and 1Password, Password Boss, Keeper, LastPass, Bitwarden, there's tons of free and commercial apps out there. There's no real reason to have the same password everywhere. There's no real reason to have the same password used twice. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but when certain family members have access to certain video streaming apps that I may or may not pay for, because I'm that guy that has everything, they whine because it's a 24 character, like alphanumeric special characters. Like they hate this. You know what I mean? And I don't know. This to me seems like it's on you. You know, you take my Twitter credentials. Oh, well, WhatsApp hurts a little bit more because WhatsApp's a communications mechanism. So yes, I will give, WhatsApp is more painful than Twitter, for example. But it still goes by the same. It still goes by your credentials should be unique in every service. Am I wrong? Am I off base?
I'm just struggling of how to manage all of these. I feel like, you know, we're no longer, you know, spinning plates. I feel like, we're herding 1,000 cats and you don't want any of them to get out and they're impossible to manage. So, you know what? We can talk about this other time. I've got to change my password. Let's get on to the next story.
In our second top story, voice gaming site iSpoof, that's ISPOOF, shut down and hundreds are arrested. Written by Marco Marceline for PCMag.com. In a coordinated action led by the British police and supported by Europol and Eurojust, iSpoof, a website that allowed users to impersonate corporations or contacts to access sensitive information, was just shut down. Europol stated that 142 arrests were made globally, and 100 of these, including the platform's administrator, were made by London's Metropolitan Police. Investigation showed that iSpoof earned over £3.7 million in 16 months, and UK authorities stated that £100 million, or $120 million US, were from victims around the world. Created in December 2020, iSpoof lets paying users make anonymous spoof calls, send recorded messages, and intercept one-time passwords. Users were also able to impersonate banks, retail companies, and government agencies to trick victims into giving them money. At its peak, the platform had 59,000 users and accepted Bitcoin as payment. Tony, skirting the obvious that when a domain registrar sees iSpoof.com as a registered domain, besides that, that is blatantly obvious as to their intentions. On a scale from one to, oh my God, how scared are you right now?
Well, if I see this is from John at IamAFraud.com, I'm probably not going to hold as much credibility to that particular domain as I would if it was John at some other, you know, reputable domain. I have a lot of questions. The first question is, you know, how did they monetize this? And the people that were receiving the money, what happened to the people that were spending the money? You know, there's always a source and a destination. And it sounds like they, you know, tracked down, congratulations to the authorities, to tracking down and apprehending the destination that everyone wanted to go to, aka iSpoof. What about the consumers of that? Some people were giving them money. You know, that wasn't self-generated internally unless they have the Flipper Zero. Where did these people come from to spend money, and what did they use it for? That's what I want to know.
Well, I think Flipper Zeros are really the only answer for that. as Tony realizes, they're also sold out for a very long time. They didn't specify if it was just people that worked there were arrested, or if it was some consumers of the service that were arrested. I like you. I'm really hoping the consumers of the service were also gone after because there, if there's nobody to consume the services, there's no market for the services, right? The reason these script kiddies are able to do what they do is because the people that create these scripts understand there's a good bit of money to be made selling the stuff on the dark web or wherever one gets their finest of, you know, identity theft wares from. I don't know. I don't know where the Neiman Marcus for that is, but regardless, yeah, I believe I'm with you. The consumers of these services need to be sought after. And I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that report. Not only the people offering these services being arrested, but also the 100 most egregious people, whatever, consumers of them being arrested as well. And in that case, that would be a step in the right direction.
Follow the money.
Follow the money. You know, yeah. If I've learned anything from my 20, 30 years of police experience watching police shows, just like my medical experience watching Grey's Anatomy, and Scrubs, you know, it's follow the money. That's, seriously though, iSpoof. I can't get over it. It's named iSpoof. That's just like, somebody finding this website, you have to say, okay, this is a bad idea. Like, right? They were hiding.
People
this.
Thought it was a dessert company.
7bananamango.gov. This was like, right?
I got nothing.
Yeah, I say as I'm holding my questionably secure purchase here.
Your questionable research.
You know what? Before I get fired, let's talk about Elon's firings. Can you tell us that next story?
Jumping into a story from TheVerge.com from Emma Roth, a Twitter executive got a court injunction to prevent Elon Musk from firing her. Twitter's global vice president of policy did not agree to Elon Musk's hardcore culture and got fired. But she says she didn't intend to resign. Sinead McSweeney, Twitter's Ireland-based global vice president of public policy, secured a temporary injunction from the High Court of Dublin to prevent her from getting fired. McSweeney claims that she was locked out of her work accounts and Twitter's Dublin office after not responding to the email Elon Musk sent to employees, which asked workers to reply yes to commit to Twitter's extreme hardcore culture, or otherwise leave. Musk sent out the email shortly after his Twitter takeover on November 16th and gave employees a little over a day to confirm whether they wanted to stay at the company. If an employee did not click yes on the form in the included email, Twitter said it would, quote, treat that as a resignation, end quote. But McSweeney said she didn't hit yes. Justin Brian O'More granted McSweeney the injunction on Friday, which prevents Twitter from firing her but does not reinstate her employment. The court will revisit her case next week. I've got questions. This reminds me, Ray, of, listen, I know you want to break up with me, but I don't accept that. I where does this end? Like, to me, there's an eventuality here. She's back as a happy employee.
No, well, like that's the irony here, right? She's not allowed to work because she's still locked out. They're going to give her access back, you know, so they say. The courts have only said they can't fire her. So presumably she's sitting at home collecting a paycheck for now. I did some research over the weekend, and by research, you know, browsing the interwebs as they happen to be. But I was looking at stories from a lot of these people from Twitter who had gotten those emails or gotten that message with the deadline to either commit to being hardcore or take off. And a vast majority of the workers there at Twitter decided not to respond at all. So what she did, a lot of them did.
So do you think, but from a legal perspective, she is setting a precedence for everyone who did not click yes?
I think that she called the bluff, right? Because saying, are you committed to be hardcore? You're asking for something ethereal. You're asking, dude, are you down with me to take care of whatever? Like, how do you legally commit to the unknown? Right. You know, unless Elon is in fact the devil trying to take people's souls. And there are parts of the interwebs that do subscribe to that theory, but taking that out of this conversation, what court's going to hold up? You didn't commit to being hardcore enough as part of your job duties. You know what I mean? You're like me. You've hired a vast number of people and put out job postings in your history, in your career history. How many of them have been for, we're looking for hardcore people? Like,
the acquisition of, the creating of a culture versus the inheriting of a culture are two completely separate battles. And I'm truly, truly wondering, is this the transition from one to the other? Did he inherit a culture and he's saying, no, I want to create my culture, and he's getting rid of the, you know, the white noise or whatever. And by doing that, is there a point of diminishing returns on how many people he's getting rid of, and saying, maybe I overstepped that one. And the small tactics, I mean, the big tactic is very, disturbing as far as I'm concerned, over, you know, how he's going across the firing and the mass layoffs. But the smaller tactics of, hey, if you don't respond to this, we're going to count that as a, what if someone's sick? What if someone has COVID? You know, does that mean that they quit? You know, I mean, and let's, out of the vastness of their employee base, there had to be one or more of those employees that were unable to reply. They were on, you know, vacation. They didn't want to check their email or do anything. I'm just wondering, how is this going to play out from her setting a precedent legally that says she did not hit yes? Consequently, the very technique of letting people go will backfire for her to pay her, but backfire across the board, having to pay everyone that did not reply. That's my thing. And this is up for debate. I'd love to hear from everyone else out there, or anyone else out there. Have you sent somebody an email that says, if you do not do this, we're going to count this as a resignation, and we're going to let you go? Were you advised not to do that? Maybe after the fact. Did you do it, or have you had it done to you? I'd be really curious what the feedback is from the audience.
And, you know, I want to know right now, I want everybody, that if you're not committed to being a hardcore viewer of MSP Dispatch, you need to let us know by 10 minutes ago.
That's 10 minutes ago. But they commit. They commit to a daily, yeah, every single day watching it. Yep.
Otherwise, I am taking this as your commitment. We'll go with that one because that's actually English. We'll go with that as your commitment to be a hardcore viewer of MSP Dispatch. So thank you, Tony.
And for the hardcore viewers, we should yeet. We should, yeah, let's yeet into the Yodel Notables. Yeet.
In our first notable mention, new Windows Server updates cause domain controller freezes. Again, written by Sergio Gatlan for bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft is investigating a new LSAS memory leak bug caused by the latest Windows updates that may trigger freezes and reboots on some domain controllers. LSAS, or the Local Security Authority Subsystem Service, is a service that implements security policies on Windows systems and manages token creation, password changes, and user logins. According to the company, a server crash results in logged in users losing access to Windows accounts on the device and showing a system restart error followed by a reboot. Furthermore, out of band Windows updates to address authentication problems on Windows domain controllers might also be affected. Until a fix is available to address the issue, Microsoft has provided a temporary solution to allow IT admins to work around the domain controller instability. The link to this article and the subsequent workaround will be in the show notes below. In my second notable mention, Windows 11 is getting a VPN status indicator in the taskbar, written by Lawrence Abrams for bleepingcomputer.com. Virtual private networks have been a wish come true for users who choose to keep their browsing anonymous, and reports say that Windows 11 may soon add a system tray indicator that lets the user know if he's or she's connected to a VPN. According to Neowin's report, the Windows 11 Dev Build 25247 includes a feature that, when enabled, displays a small shield icon overlay on the network icon. While this works when connecting to VPNs configured using the built-in Windows 11 client, it does not work with Wi-Fi and when connecting to commercial VPN services using their apps. Nevertheless, despite being in its beginning stages, the VPN status feature in the system tray will ensure that the user gets notified when the VPN disconnects. In this way, the user can continue to be anonymous.
And in my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Google pushes an emergency Chrome update. They released this emergency security update for the desktop version of Chrome web browser, addressing the 8th zero-day vulnerability exploited in the attacks this year. The high severity flaw is tracked as CVE-2022-4135 and is a heap buffer overflow in the GPU discovered by Clement Lacine of Google's threat analysis group on November 22, 2022. As users need time to apply the security update on their Chrome installations, Google has withheld details about the vulnerability to prevent expanding its malicious exploitation. In general, the heap buffer overflow is a memory vulnerability resulting in data being written to forbidden, usually adjacent, locations without check. Update your browsers now. And in my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, the data from 5.4 million Twitter users has been stolen and leaked online. Over 5.4 million Twitter users containing non-public information and the data therein stolen using an API vulnerability fixed in January has been shared for free on a hacker forum. The data consists of scraped public information as well as private phone numbers and email addresses that were not meant to be public. While it is concerning that threat actors released the 5.4 million records for free, an even larger data dump was allegedly created using the same vulnerability. The data dump potentially contained tens of millions of Twitter records consisting of personal phone numbers collected using the same API bug and public information, including verified status, account names, Twitter ID, bio, and screen name.
In our feedback from the YouTubes, Linode Partner says, best intro ever, gentlemen. Also brought home from the IT Nation Lurgy, respect for powering through. Thanks, James. We appreciate you, dude. Jason Morales says, el lechón navideño es la mejor parte de Navidad. You know, it's not the best part of Christmas. El burrito sabanero. I hate that song like you cannot imagine. Crazy Innova says, Tony, I watched this. This is in reference to our episode coming from IT Nation. Tony, I'm assuming she's talking about you, not the other Tony, since you're the OG Tony for MSP Dispatch. We're going to assume the glory is yours, sir. That's how we roll with this show. And Mason S. says, I have not yet done 410 work weeks, but it is very attractive on the job listings that I see. One I'm interviewing for now is an MDR. And we've seen that as well. I mean, in our job postings, it got a hefty amount of attraction, for potential candidates. So I thought it was pretty cool. And,
I love that discussion. Love it.
Yeah.
Kicking off the community events coming in hot on November 30th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. On December 2nd, an in-person event, CompTIA Global Space Summit in Washington, D.C., December 2nd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. And finally, on December 2nd, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's 38 and 38, episode number 7.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3 times per Tony Kai. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can even propose your own stories or vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Mankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news at mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, you know the thing I hate about awesome intros is that you just got to get the bar higher and higher. And if somebody doesn't say, I love that intro, you die a little inside.
The intros you do, you don't understand, you guys. Like, he's doing the intro and I'm listening in the green room and I am cracking up, and then they come on live and I'm trying to be maintained. I'm like sweating. I'm laughing so hard. I don't know how he comes up with this. He goes, okay, let me just write something down. And then in 10 seconds, he comes out with a yeet and all the things that he's doing, singing. It is hilarious. So give him a little slack on that.
And this is why I love you. Even though we're both married men, you are the most excellent wingman in the entire planet, sir. Thank you for stroking my ego. I appreciate it.
Just calling it as it is, man. But you're interrupting me getting my flipper zero. I'm going to go research some things.
So Tony can get his flipper zero. We'll yeet out of here. Till next time, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
What's up, Doc? I have great news about your car's extended warranty, and Elon says you're fired. Irish court says, hold my whiskey. These stories and much more in today's episode of... I can do that better. What's up, Doc? Elon says you're fired. Oops, I missed one.
You are on mute. You are on mute. You are on mute. Coming in hot on those bloopers. You're coming in hot. You're doing it for the peeps. You're doing it for the fans and showing off that tattoo. Boom!
Hello. I'm still in vacation mode.
I love it. Oh, I'm with you, brother. Weird.
All right.
Jumping in right out of the gate. I totally hosed that one. What do I have? You know what? I'm coming strong with the bloopers already. 500 million. Oh, my stories are all out of order. Oh, that is the right story.
You got WhatsApp for your first story.
Yeah, that is the right story. My notes are a little bit wonky. I'm purchasing my Flipper Zero. Holy mama, these are not cheap.
No, they're not cheap. But I know they're cool, so, you know.
Holy mama, these are not cheap. What? Is there like a diet version of this? Like, this is
this is, yeah. Don't get it just because I'm an idiot and I got it and I didn't know what I was
going to do. No, I want to do it to research. Addressing the 8th zero-day vulnerability exploited in the last year, the high vulnerability. Man, I got to start from the top. I'm so sorry. I doubled my notes on this one. Here we go. and in my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, 5.4 million Twitter users. Stolen data leaked on a... there's plurals and plurals of... Here we go.
And Mason S. says, I have not yet done a 410 work week, but it is very attractive on job listings that I see when I'm in 40... When I'm interviewing now. I am sorry to disappoint you, Mason. All right. So, how'd you like today's episode? I totally didn't lose my teleprompter.
What is that Saturday Night Live episode when they lost the teleprompter and they're like,
I don't know what to do here. I'm not as professional as you think I am. Okay.